Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. Getting knowledged up, not to be, you know, used as a pawn in the game, not to be used, collided, you know, used against ourselves and one another in the fashion that Nesta Webster talked about in World Revolution, the plot against civilization, she, among others. But, you know, that's what Marxism represents in simple terms, to infiltrate or create, you know, the Workers' Party, for example. It's interesting, you know, because it's a very personal issue. It's a very personal discussion. Your wealth, essentially, is what it boils down to. And so who should tell you what you can do with your wealth and how you should manage it, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, workers of the world, unite! And that was the socialist call early on in the wake of the Fabian Society. The SPA, right? I think that's even on the Wikipedia entry. Let me see. Yeah. Socialist Party. Workers of the World Unite. This was an important discussion. You know, not the Red Scare. No, that was it. That was the, you know, the Red Scare was the boogeyman before Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden were created. Let's see if I can find that excerpt from Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, the image of Bella Dodd. Where is that? My fingers on that quickly. Yes, no, maybe. You know, her saying, every time we had a meeting, here, I think this is it. Dr. Bella Dodd, a former member of the Communist Party, felt that, quote, the communist conspiracy was merely a branch of a much bigger conspiracy. She discovered that any one of three wealthy American capitalists, quote unquote, could make decisions for the party, the Communist Party, that is. These decisions were always ratified later by the Communist Party in Russia. Huh? Yeah. You know, what Anthony Sutton wrote. This is why it's important to understand where these things come from. I know the talking points sound appealing. I know they are supposed to. They're made to. They're made to order. In the same way that Bernaysian propaganda taps into the will to pleasure in Uncle Sigmund Freud's, you know, provocative expose of latent desires. These talking points are made to appeal, but it's disingenuous. It's the devil's gift. And we're going to get to Libyan socialism, which is a bastion of Fabian socialism, by the way. For those who care to investigate, you will discover that immediately upon taking power, Muammar Gaddafi invited the London School of Economics, you know, created by the Fabian Society, in to set up the Fabian brand of socialism. But why did Muammar Gaddafi, after so many years of comfortable living, so to speak, because he was one of the special people, he and his family, his son attended London School of Economics. That sure doesn't sound like a separation from the Fabian Society. It sounds like embracing your kidnapper. So why did he give that speech then? What happened to cause him in 2009 to give what I call his 9/11 truth speech? Patrice Lumumba is the guy that I keep. You know, he talked about reinvestigating the death of Patrice Lumumba, which included the shoot down of Dag Hammarskjöld's plane to come see what the heck's going on. What's going on? We need to reinvestigate those deaths and that the deaths of several other African leaders, and 9/11 and JFK. What's going on here? Why did he say all those crazy things? A speech that was supposed to last 10 minutes, it lasted more than 100 minutes. And after that, Libya starts looking at privatizing things out of the hands of this Fabian socialist cabal, resources in particular that had been nationalized, wink, wink. That was 2010, and then by 2011, Hillary said what she said, right? So what happened? Maybe all that glitters isn't gold. You know, we gotta play that clip. The witch cackling. We came, we saw, he died. So anyway, that's where we're headed. Talking about Libyan socialism, and there is no separation between that brand of socialism under Gaddafi, 69 to 2009, I would say, and Fabian socialism. They were comfortable bedfellows, to say the least. And then after Gaddafi was assassinated, I believe it was after, Tony Blair comes on a fact-finding mission to make sure that everything is ship-shape. You know, Fabian socialist third-way advocate Tony Blair. Anyway. So it's all about power and control. It's all about making sure that, sure, you have a democratic voice, but it doesn't amount to anything. It's kind of like yelling at the TV screen on Sunday or Monday or Thursday or whenever. You can yell all you want. It doesn't accomplish anything other than, you know, just sort of diffusing wild energy. Doesn't change anything. And that applied to politics with the concepts of freedom and liberty in view sounds patently un-American to me. And so before we start extolling the virtues of democratic socialism, we should probably investigate and find out where these talking points came from. And how they compare to our own history, which takes me back to yesterday. And I was thinking, you know, democratic socialism, Ronald Reagan saying this is the issue. It kind of, that to me punctuates the discussion. This is the issue. What is the issue? You know, when we embark on this discussion, is there a concern? Or have we just capitulated? Or is this still the issue? If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. You start thinking about it. Where? You know, this is the headquarters of the military arm of the conspiracy, so to speak. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth, Reagan said, and this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except to sovereign people. What happened to that concept? Talk to any government employee now. Do they behave like a civil servant, or do they have a disdainful attitude? If you don't like it, you know what you can do? We'll call the jackboots, have you hauled away. What is that old cliche? Where there is liberty, government fears the people. Where there is tyranny, people fear the government. This idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except to sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. And so it's a short trip from those sorts of concepts to ideas like the Fourth Amendment, for example. And together with it, the money supply issue, you know. The Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. But that, it doesn't say anything about digital media, so. Against unreasonable searches and seizures. You know, once you let the genie out of the 23andMe or Ancestry.com bottle, what happens? Once you let the genie out of the Facebook bottle, the genie can't go back in. The Pandora. Anyway. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. This gets right to the heart of what James Otis was talking about in his defense of the Boston merchants. Who is James Otis, though? The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. That's pretty plain language. Shall not be violated. And no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation. But you have, for anyone who has investigated, you have James Otis's defense of the Boston merchants in view of this kind of violation, writs of assistance being blanket search warrants. If I have one, I can search any place, anyone's business or home for anything I want and basically take whatever I want. And we heard Ronald Reagan say what he said, and that was 1964. And I've talked about this before, but who has time? So the Fourth Amendment – the right of the people to be secure shall not be violated. And – so you think about that. Ed and Elaine Brown come to mind, for example, and you go back to the money supply, again, a system that created to penalize savers. The M3 not published anymore for 13 years now because the line is straight up in the air. It's a vertical line. And if you have a hiccup, then what? Well, we did. We had a market correction, they call it. You know, so that was a little more than 10 years ago, the subprime contagion. Been hearing about another one. You know, Alan Watt reminds us it used to be, you know, 70 years or so, and then it was more frequent. It's been more frequent. You gotta be fleeced, have it all taken from you. And you know what? It's Devil Bill. It's, you know, Devil Bill, William Devil Bill Livingston Avery Rockefeller. That guy, Avery Livingston Rockefeller, who tricked and cheated his kids because, you know, that's he wants them to grow up sharp. That's how you make them sharp. You cheat them. Teach them how to be cheats. So in 1966, Greenspan wrote, government deficit spending under a gold standard is severely limited. This is what Anthony Sutton was getting to. You can't do that. You can't cheat the people and get ahead by orders of magnitude. You can't benefit from this wild disparity that's created by this kind of a system that cheats people in a way, as Keynes put it, that not one man in a million is able to deduce. The abandonment of the gold standard, Greenspan wrote in 1966, made it possible for the welfare statists, oh, you mean socialists, to use the banking system as a means to an unlimited expansion of credit. But they're not socialists by their nature. Don't get me wrong. They use the concept of socialism to fleece, bilk, soak, mislead, abuse people. You'll get free gifts. Sure, you'll get free gifts. We're going to reach into your pocket and take 10 out of your pocket. We'll give you one back. We'll keep 9 and we'll give you we'll give you 2 or 3 back, and we'll give you delicious socialist gifts with another 1 or 2 that we give back to you. But what about the majority that you took from me? Can I just have that back? Can I decide? You know, the issue of apportionment comes to mind as well. Can you imagine the spending that would occur, you know, foreign policy and domestic policy and the government programs, if people actually had to vote what would come out of their own pocket? You see it in levies and things in local communities. People are saying, you know what, can't afford it. Well, we have these services we have to provide. We have to educate the children, for example. Man, that's a controversial discussion. Why is the impetus coming from on high? The Reese Committee told us about that back in the 50s. The impetus originates from a source outside the local community. Today, people have been propagandized to believe, well, that's a good thing. That way we can make it uniform. Sure. Never mind propaganda. The abandonment of the gold standard made it possible for the welfare status to use the banking system as a means to an unlimited expansion of credit. M3, anyone? This guy presided over the greatest expansion of credit, an unlimited expansion of credit. They called him Easy Money Allen. At the time, it was the greatest. How ironic. They have created paper reserves in the form of government bonds, which through a complex series of steps, the banks accept in place of tangible assets and treat as if they were an actual deposit, i.e. as the equivalent of what was formerly a deposit of gold. What? Sleight of hand. The alchemists are impressed. This funny money is treated as the equivalent of what was formerly a deposit of gold. Can you imagine? A few short years later, in the Nixon era, this had to stop because the French were using it in reverse. You mean we can give you this funny paper and we can get gold out? Sweet. What a deal. Nah, we got to shut that down. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Alexander Fraser Tytler is alleged to have said a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the majority discovers it can vote itself largesse out of the public treasury. After that, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits, Andrew Yang, with the result The democracy collapses because of loose fiscal policy ensuing, always to be followed by a dictatorship, then a monarchy. That doesn't sound fun. But ironically, speaking of monarchy and democracy republic, which is it? Tytler did say, it is not perhaps unreasonable to conclude that a pure and perfect democracy is a thing not attainable by man, constituted as he is, of contending elements of vice and virtue, and ever mainly influenced by the predominant principle of self-interest, which gets back to my point earlier, reflecting on Hayek's Road to Serfdom and Ecclesiastes 3:22. It may indeed be confidently asserted, Tytler said, that there never was that government called a republic which was not ultimately ruled by a single will. And therefore, parenthetically, however bold may seem the paradox, virtually and substantially a monarchy. So this is not a simple discussion, to be sure, but to prey on these latent tendencies, these latent desires, to foment an irreconcilable conflict, which to me is sort of the embodiment of Marxism. really to wind people up and turn them against themselves and one another. It's precisely what it does. Workers of the world, unite. The raised fist, all that nonsense. So, Greenspan, 1966, gold and economic freedom, which, as Hayek pointed out, is inseparable from political freedom. The holder of a government bond or of a bank deposit created by paper reserves believes that he and paper reserves, you know, again, Jefferson was accurate, I believe, when he said paper is poverty. It is the ghost of money and not money itself. Imagine if we understood that today. John Kenneth Galbraith talking about how the creation of money is so simple, the mind is literally repelled. The holder of a government bond or of a bank deposit created by paper reserves, and that's obviously in this funny money system specifically. The holder of a government bond or of a bank deposit created by paper reserves believes that he has a valid claim on a real asset. Today, do people even care? Those who have been inculcated into this game theory sort of mindset, you know, I get tokens. They are good technocratic communitarians already. They don't even realize it. You get a token that tells you you can get a thing. They don't even care. You watch people at a check stand, the people giving change, the people receiving change, they don't even care. It seems virtually everyone in this society has become entirely socialized in this fashion. Since you don't have to fight or struggle for your own daily survival in America these days, you don't. Most people don't. I mean, even if your job includes that, there is no. It's interesting how that's sort of been bred out of us. You know, everyone wears a helmet everywhere, and there is no sense, there's no perception of danger or any sort of life-threatening element. And that should be a healthy fear, so to speak, that keeps you alive, keeps you sharp. Maybe that's part of why George Bernard Shaw said the future belongs to the mongrel. Anyway, the holder of a government bond or of a bank deposit created by paper reserves believes that he has a valid claim on a real asset. But the fact is that there are now more claims outstanding than real assets. The law of supply and demand is not to be conned. As the supply of money or claims increases relative to the supply of tangible assets in the economy, prices must eventually rise. The invisible tax of inflation. Thus, the earnings saved by the productive members of society lose value in terms of goods. When the economy's books are finally balanced, one finds that this loss in value represents the goods purchased by the government for welfare or other purposes with the money proceeds of the government bonds financed by bank credit expansion. And when you look at the proliferation of currency, both on the books and off the books, and the unaccountability, what does that portend? Stick around. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. So, it's interesting, you know, back in 1796, George Washington said all obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character with the real design to direct, control, the real design. Systems. How did these guys know? Were they reading Machiavelli? With the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities, this is where you get the introduction of ideas like what the Reese Committee revealed to us about what the Carnegie Endowment and Ford Foundation, et cetera, were doing, trying to steer America into a perpetual state of war at the from the turn of the 20th century forward. With the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities, are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give it an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of a party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community. And according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction. It's like bad guys read this stuff and go, yeah, that's what we need to do. That what he's talking about. Because that, to me, represents the irreconcilable conflict of which Norman Dodd spoke, that was fomented by the, you know, higher-ups in banking. To make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interests. And Washington went on to say, however, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends. You know, like the panics of the late 19th and early 20th century that were fomented, as guys like Lindbergh told us, Lindbergh Sr. and Jr. Sr. in particular in this case. However, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends. We've got to do something. We have to break the money trust. Never mind the fact that the money trust was telling us that. They are likely, Washington said, in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. So we come back to the subject of Greenspan writing about gold and economic freedom in 1966. Under a gold standard, the amount of credit that an economy can support is determined by the economy's tangible assets. Since every credit instrument is ultimately a claim on some tangible asset, I remember my grandmother trying to explain this to me as a young man, well, a boy, showing me the difference. This is redeemable for... these new ones are redeemable for nothing. That was shortly after, well, we'll get to that here in a minute. But government bonds are not backed by tangible wealth. Only the government's promise to pay out of future tax revenues cannot easily be absorbed by the financial markets. Thus, government deficit spending under a gold standard is severely limited. The abandonment of the gold standard made it possible for the welfare status to use the banking system as a means to an unlimited expansion of credit. They have created paper reserves in the form of government bonds, which through a complex series of steps the banks accept in place of tangible assets and treat as if they were an actual deposit, i.e. as the equivalent of what was formerly a deposit of gold. And some people saw this scheme and worked it in reverse and got gold for the funny money. Stockpiles, storehouses of gold. And so just as Washington predicted, because that's just another maxim of history, cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government and the purse strings and everything in the purse, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. And that's where we have this. Richard Nixon, August 15, 1971, incidentally 100 years after Pike's allegedly spurious letter to Mazzini, the most prophetic letter never written, Richard Nixon made this announcement. Go ahead, please.
The strength of a nation's currency is based on the strength of that nation's economy. And the American economy is by far the strongest in the world. Accordingly, I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to take the action necessary to defend the dollar against the speculators. I have directed Secretary Connally to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets, except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States. Now, what does this action, which is very technical, what does it mean for you? Let me lay to rest the bugaboo of what is called devaluation. If you want to buy a foreign car or take a trip abroad, market conditions may cause your dollar to buy slightly less. But if you are among the overwhelming majority of Americans who buy American-made products in America, your dollar will be worth just as much tomorrow as it is today. The effect of this action, in other words, will be to stabilize the dollar.
Some people know, the numismatic community will tell you what happened. There are, you know, this post, for example, silverdoctors.com, destruction of honest savings since Nixon closed the gold window, the untold story of our time. That was actually earlier this year, October 5th, 2019. Inflation is one of the greatest crimes in human history. And there are other interesting, you know, corollaries to that discussion. Earlier this year, for example, February 4, 2019, Forbes published this. Central banks haven't bought this much gold since Nixon closed the gold window. Something big is happening in the gold market right now, and nowhere is that more apparent than in central banks of emerging economies. What is happening? That is a peripheral discussion we won't embark on now. Anyway, Greenspan said it, you know, he wrote it in 1966. This is the shabby secret of the welfare statist tirades against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth, the confiscation and aggregation, I would say. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. It stands as a protector of property rights. Back to the Fourth Amendment. If one grasps this, Greenspan wrote, one has no difficulty in understanding the statists' antagonism toward the gold standard. And the statist wants to do what the statist wants to do. That gets back to the issue of planning and the subject of planning. And with planning comes what? Execution. So, you know, what do you mean by that? Is that you sound like you're using that term sort of euphemistically? Well, in part, I think so, yes, because, you know, R.J. Rummel tells us history seems to bear that out, unfortunately. So we should be wise to these things. You know, we don't have any immediate danger, life-threatening danger in our lives in America. Everyone wears a helmet for everything everywhere, and I think that's part of the conspiracy, so to speak, to sort of breed out the notion of imminent danger, life-threatening danger. There is no perceived immediate life-threatening danger, and therefore everything's fine. It's okay. It's all perfectly fine. It's wonderful. Everything is beautiful. Let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Couldn't be better. Recovery, recovery. Couldn't be better. All of this to return to democratic socialism. Reagan, this is the issue. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government, we've talked about it. My belief is that that connotes a certain, you know, along with the autonomy, with great autonomy comes great responsibility. Ha ha. But really, that's the concept. And again, the way to encourage responsibility and proper exercise of the control is not to take it from people, but to inform their discretion. as Jefferson put it. So, that's sort of where we find ourselves at the moment. Yeah, it was the most notable example of Jefferson's expression of those sentiments, in my opinion, is his letter to William Charles Jarvis, September 28, 1820. And again, this is one of my favorite entries because his statesmanship, I think, is evident. He says, "I thank you, sir, for the copy of your Republican, which you have been so kind as to send me, and I should have acknowledged it sooner, but that I am just returned home after a long absence. I've not yet had time to read it seriously." So, I mean, he apologizes for not getting back sooner. Arguably the greatest statesman, American statesman ever, apologizes, and then concludes, "Pardon me, sir, for the difference of opinion." Again, humbly, apologetically, "Pardon me for my difference of opinion." But he, before that, he writes, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." I agree. Seems good things happen when you inform people's discretion. You, instead of, what do you call that? I can't think of it now. The, when you are limited in your thinking to the oversimplified black and white thinking, splitting, I think they call that in psychological terms. The failure in a person's thinking to bring together the dichotomy of both positive and negative qualities. Well, I would call it the lack of nuance. You know, I am reminded of Ron Paul talking to Tim Russert on Meet the Press about, you know, "I believe these people believe what they are talking about." And that's an interesting concept. It's an interesting thought to entertain. But I think that, you know, speaking of splitting, black and white thinking, which is notoriously pervasive in cluster B personality disorders, I really think we should be investigating that and exploring, maybe just kind of sort of ruminating on why and how it is that we seem to be engineering cluster B personality disorders en masse in this society these days. You know, antisocial personality disorder is the sociopath and psychopath that guys like Kevin Dutton write about. The wisdom of the antisocial personality disorder is what his book might be titled. Histrionic personality disorder is what Alan Watt calls the hysterical attention-seeking psychopath. Hey, have you seen Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars? Unbelievable. And, you know, borderline personality disorder and narcissistic personality disorder. I mean, all of these are a little too self-absorbed. And it seems that we're engineering this kind of stuff in America. That, again, is another peripheral discussion. So The Reese Committee warned us about this stuff. John Adams told us what it meant, the American Revolution, what it meant, who was responsible for it. What did all of that represent, and where are we now? I want to return to that, and so we will get to the bottom of all of that. Stick around, more right after this break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
When you were here before, I couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back. I keep wondering, you know, what can I say that will appeal to folks, to stir folks awake to see in this society that, you know, we have gone horribly wrong. I mean, Ronald Reagan, 1964, talking about socialism in pretty open terms, and the the concern, and you know, even going so far as to mention that, you know, in 1936 Al Smith charged that the leadership of the Democratic Party was taking the party of Jefferson, Jackson, and Cleveland down the road under the banners of Marx, Lenin, and Stalin. What was happening in this progressive era? Big changes. Then people got wise to it. It seems like it goes in these cycles where, you know, something big happens. You hear the Fabian socialist, sociologist, you know, cybernetic social engineers like Walter Lippmann with these great big ideas. And then a period of time passes and people say, you know, that didn't work out the way that we were promised. Well, you're just not getting it. You're not getting it. And so the ideas go back in the drawer. That's why I wanted to get back to definitions. Cleon Skousen's 5,000-year leap, a good place to look at that. The change in of meaning that democracy, socialism, democratic socialism have undergone in the last 100 years. But it's the same Fabian society impetus that is lurking beneath the surface. Hasn't changed. And so I wonder, are we just an entirely domesticated herd now in America? Have we lost sight of our rugged individualist past? Or, you know, do we still have that somewhere in us? Because there are concerns. And, you know, speaking plainly about the concerns, there's the economic concern, the taking advantage of people, the stealing from people. That's what inflation represents. It's theft. It's the killing of other people around the world, the advancing of interests that are not your own, which, you know, is part of why we play the Wes Clark clip, for example, yesterday. 7 countries in 5 years. Like he said, you know, you mean this is what the purpose of the military is? To go and destabilize governments and to take control of places and make these things in our image? Patrick Clausen echoing the same sentiments. That can't happen without these kinds of engines. But, you know, if there's no immediate sense of life-threatening danger, then I guess everything's okay, right? I digress. Third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.